I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum.
And
what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Wednesday, June 22nd, 2022 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride. We are being moved along. I mentioned it yesterday. I mentioned it before. It's a continuum. And it started in the garden and it's continuing forward. It's the dialectical knowledge of the tree of good and evil. And so A is the garden and innocence, and Z is Genesis chapter 6, essentially, where through a continual process, call it a dialectical process, ultimately man winds up in a state where, as Genesis 6:5 says, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And I've talked about this verse in the past, and how it sounds hyperbolic, but it's really illustrative of the total corruption and depravity of man at that point. And so that, I believe, is what is intended. That's, essentially you could say that's the cultural Marxist's sort of mission statement in a nutshell. To see to it that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. According to the cultural Marxists, that is the way of salvation, which is the perversion, the satanic perversion of Christian salvation and conversion. So that's what you see. It's interesting. I had a conversation with a friend yesterday, the friend who said, I think communism is a religion, and you can sort of trace that back literally to, in the call it the modern age, you know, Fourier and Owen and guys like that doing that in their communal settings, this religious fervor. And the question is always who decides. So, you know, communism is a satanic counterfeit, essentially, of the Pentecostal moment. So without further ado, there's plenty of news stuff to talk about. I suppose I'll do that today. You know, the January 6th, day 4 stuff. Mika and Joe, for example, are having a field day. MSNBC is having a field day. Where the truth lies, you know, what does this have to do with what I just said? Well, the dialectical conflict model is a conflict model. And the Babylon Bee did that piece recently highlighting, I think we even played that. Highlighting how folks who think, believe themselves to be on opposing sides of the aisle, on, you know, diametrically opposed essentially on political issues, are maybe not quite so far apart as they would, you know, otherwise think. And so that's interesting. There is this convergence that is occurring via the dialectical conflict. So you know, collide these things together, hammer them out. That's another way to look at the dialectical conflict model. And people don't realize that they're being changed along the way until they've gotten far down the road. So what's the antidote? I would like to give you a couple of entries from Oswald Chambers' My Utmost for His Highest. June 20th and 21st, the previous 2 days, not today's entry, June 22nd, but June 20th and 21st, Oswald Chambers' My Utmost for His Highest. This is a history lesson as much as anything. It's a hearkening back to a bygone era. And by the way, you know, Joe says that's not how it works. That's actually not true. I mean, I've mentioned many, many times the 1986 article, James P. Hill's article published in the John Marshall Law Review, the Third House versus the Fourth Branch. And that's exactly how it has worked since, at least, and actually before James P. Hill wrote his article. So that's quite literally how it works. I mean, based on what Joe Scarborough is saying, I'm not saying that the implications leveled at, you know, Trump and Senator Ron Johnson are I'm not saying they're baseless, but what I am saying is when folks like Joe Scarborough say, well, that's not how it works, in other words, sort of implying that everything that passes through Ron Johnson's office, you know, he puts his hands on, and, you know, everything has eyes on. That is not how it works. That's not how it happens. And it's obviously, you know, perhaps different from office to office, or from, you know, office holder to office holder, shall we say. But James P. Hill told us in 1986, again, in the John Marshall Law Review, the Third House of Congress versus the Fourth Branch of Government, the impact of congressional committee staff on agency regulatory decision making. And he wrote, this article presents a simple yet unsettling proposition. Regulatory decision making, among the most intrusive and pervasive aspects of federal activity, is largely the product of two politically unaccountable bureaucracies, unelected congressional committee staffs and unelected regulatory agency officials comprise these two politically unaccountable bureaucracies. Both have developed outside the constitutional framework. And 60 Minutes did a piece on this recently. I've talked about it. They did a series, actually, exposing the fact that Big Pharma works with federal agencies in similar fashion, and they have an interlocutor, a liaison, to stand between two people so that they can say dishonestly, but, you know, seemingly, you know, ostensibly with plausible deniability, that they did not talk to each other. No, they each talked to the person in between them, but they were literally standing, you know, an arm's length apart from one another. So that's dishonest. You see this depicted in different, you know, movies and television. I saw not long ago, I think, an episode of Heartland, for example, where the city official, the administrative assistant, says, you know, this is the mayor, mayors come and go, and I stay. And I thought, Philip Drew, administrator. That's exactly what the colonel who was not a colonel, Edward Mandel House, was writing in Philip Drew, administrator. But how many Americans have heard of Philip Drew, administrator, and the colonel who was not a colonel? Very influential, old school, generational old school bad guy. So the antidote, Oswald Chambers, my utmost, first, highest. This is a hearkening back to a bygone era that we are supposed to forget, but we will not. We shall not forget. June 20, citing Job 42:10, this is the title of this is, Have You Come to When Yet? Citing Job 42:10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. So Chambers writes, the plaintive, self-centered, morbid kind of prayer, a dead set that I want to be right, is never found in the New Testament. The fact that I am trying to be right with God is a sign that I am rebelling against the atonement. That's an astonishing and shocking and provocative realization. Lord, I will purify my heart if you will answer my prayer. I will walk rightly if you will help me. I cannot make myself right with God. I cannot make my life perfect. I can only be right with God if I accept the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ as an absolute gift. Am I humble enough to accept it? I have to resign every kind of claim and cease from every effort and leave myself entirely alone in his hands, and then begin to pour out in the priestly work of intercession. The priestly work of intercession. There is much prayer that arises from real disbelief in the atonement. Jesus is not beginning to save us. He has saved us. The thing is done. And it is an insult to ask him to do it. If you are not getting the hundredfold more, not getting insight into God's work, then start praying for your friends. Enter into the ministry of the interior. The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. The real business of your life as a saved soul is intercessory prayer. Wherever God puts you in circumstances, pray immediately. Pray that his atonement may be realized in other lives as it has been in yours. Pray for your friends now. Pray for those whom you come in contact with whom you come in contact now. It's interesting, you know, the full armor of God has been discussed on this broadcast and by others, particularly in recent times. Put on the full armor of God. And so you have the, you know, you have the, defensive elements, shall we say, you know, Ephesians 6 is where you find this passage, the full armor of God. You know, you have, you gird your loins with truth, you put on a breastplate of righteousness, you shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, take up the shield of faith, put on the helmet of salvation. So you have those defensive weapons that are, they seem to indicate a going, well, Paul says, stand, and reissues the admonition to stand. To sort of preface this, but it seems that these are defensive implements in a and sort of an offensive posture, if that makes sense. And then you have the two offensive weapons. You have the sword, obviously. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, with all prayer. And petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And many have conjectured that that is part of the armor or one of the offensive implements. So anyway, Chambers says, pray for your friends now. Pray for those with whom you come in contact now. As in, pray now. So that's the June 20th entry. Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. The June 21st entry, The Ministry of the Interior, which is a companion to the June 20th entry, The Ministry of the Interior, citing 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a royal priesthood. Chambers writes, by what right do we become a royal priesthood? By the right of the atonement. Are we prepared to leave ourselves resolutely alone and to launch out into the priestly work of prayer? There's that again. The continual grubbing on the inside to see whether we are what we ought to be generates a self-centered, morbid type of Christianity, not the robust, simple life of the child of God. Until we get into a right relationship to God, it is a case of hanging on by the skin of our teeth, and we say, what a wonderful victory I have got. There's nothing indicative of the miracle of redemption in that. Launch out in reckless belief that the redemption is complete, and then bother no more about yourself, but begin to do as Jesus Christ said. Pray for the friend who comes to you at midnight. Pray for the saints. Pray for all men. Pray on the realization that you are only perfect in Christ Jesus, not on this plea. O Lord, I have done my best. Please hear me. How long is it going to take to free us from the morbid habit of thinking about ourselves? How long is it going to take to free us from the morbid habit of thinking about ourselves? We must get sick unto death of ourselves. Until there is no longer any surprise at anything God can tell us about ourselves. There's only one place we are right, and that is in Christ Jesus. When we are there, then we have to pour out for all we are worth in the ministry of the interior. So, a couple of things in the remaining moments of this segment. Grubbing is an interesting word. For starters, very, I would say, fun word. So it's the present participle of grub, which means to dig up by or as if by the roots, you know, to search laboriously by or as if by digging, rummaging, to toil arduously, to drudge. And the plague that Freud brought over encourages us to do that ad nauseum, does it not? Ad infinitum. So there's that, a couple other things, and then we'll move on. Stick around. I'll be right back after this short break.
the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead, and when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Birds flying high. You know how I feel. Sun in the sky. You know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by. You know how I feel. It's a new dawn. It's a new day. It's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on a tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good.
Welcome back. This is one moment where maybe it doesn't apply. I thought I'd wait a second. No, it doesn't fit. So this is not an esoteric moment. This is a straightforward moment. So Chambers writes in the June 21st entry of My Atmosphere's Highest, the Ministry of the Interior. Just three things real quick in this segment. The continual grubbing on the inside to see whether we are what we ought to be generates a self-centered, morbid type of Christianity, not the robust, simple life of the child of God. So like I said, the word grubbing is interesting. You know, digging up by the roots, searching laboriously as if by digging or rummaging, to toil arduously, to drudge. Constantly drudging, constantly arduously toiling to search. And so my marginal note mentions 2 Corinthians 11, 2 and 3, which reads, this is the NASB, "For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband." This is Paul writing to the Corinthians. "So that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin, but I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ." And then the simplicity and purity. And so, you know, again, I mean, it gets back to, you hopefully you can see the correlation of the point of, you know, the beginning of the broadcast from the garden in the book of Genesis. You know, in a dialectical continuum, when you've been encouraged to prostrate yourself before at the foot of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, as is the Freudian case, the continuum, you know, this continual exposure and conflict resolution at the foot of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is going to move people from A, or innocence, or the simplicity and purity that 2 Corinthians 11:3 talks about, to Z, which is Genesis 6:5. And, you know, as it says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." What is the answer to that? Well, a didactic resolution of right and wrong. So, lastly, Chambers writes, "We must get sick unto death of ourselves until there is no longer any surprise at anything God can tell us about ourselves. There is only one place we are right, and that is in Christ Jesus. When we are there, then we have to pour out for all we are worth in the ministry of the interior." And I have a marginal note, Colossians 3:3, which is also interesting. Colossians 3:3 in the NASB reads, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ and God." So, again, I mean, I don't intend it to be a Sunday morning kind of a thing, but it is a spiritual battle. And the founders, I mean, I mentioned John Adams, for example, mentioning the ecclesiastical nature and referring back to James Otis. The ecclesiastical nature, or at least aspect, and I would just say nature, but at least the ecclesiastical aspect of the battle. So again, in Sun Tzu or Machiavellian sort of fashion, imagine, as Charles Baudelaire mused, imagine if your greatest adversary, who has waged war against you, could persuade you that he does not exist. What a coup that would be. Or, better yet, that he does not exist and there is no war against you. Oh my goodness, what a coup that would be. Stick around, I'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
You know that nothing beats a storable food stockpile for readiness. But there are two problems with storable food. It's expensive, and eventually, it runs out. Then what? What happens to you or your family when there's not enough food to go around? In a true survival scenario, you need a renewable food source. That's why Seed Armory has developed a survival-grade seed vault that can produce over $25,000 worth of crops from just one kit. Unlike other seed vaults, we don't inflate our seed counts with fillers. All our seeds are 100% heirloom and non-GMO. Not a green thumb? Don't worry. We've written an easy-to-follow guide to guarantee your success from planting to harvest. For a limited time, we're offering an additional 10% off your order when you enter the code RBN at checkout. Go to seedarmory.com. That's seedarmory.com. Don't wait. Like everything else, seeds are in short supply.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Welcome back. Oh my goodness. Interesting times. Interesting times. You know, we've been crippled, hamstrung, made helpless, and otherwise completely, what is the word? Hapless, feckless, et cetera, et cetera. It's tragic to watch, and, you know, self-destructive, really. Like, that's another big, you know, that's part of the reason I don't want to talk about some of this stuff. You know, the current events type stuff, there's so much conflict baked into it. And, you know, watching the layers and layers, it's like, it's watching the tumble of the, you know, the incoming tide, basically, you know, like a strong North Shore tide in Hawaii or something like that, where it looks like it doesn't look like it's going that fast, but man, when you get in it, whoo, it tosses you and you're just helpless. So watching all of this, the flurry of, I don't know, agitprop coverage, I would say, is maybe a good way to couch it. You know, I mentioned Mika and Joe in the first segment. Remember, we should play that clip of Mika, you know. It's like he wants to tell you what to think. That's our job. So, this is a place where no one tells you what to think, but we try to shine a bright light on fraud and controversy and things like that, but not in a way that feeds into the dialectical milieu. Hopefully this is a place where the conflict is and controversy and turmoil and so forth is dispelled. That's my hope, that it's sort of neutralized. You know, this is the Aikido of agitprop, where it's diffused by the and on the power of its own energy, kind of thing. I don't know. That's maybe it's wishful thinking. So let's see. Where do we even begin? I mean, I mentioned the day four of the June 6th nonsense, and to watch the narrative manipulation. It's so easy. It's so seductive. So easy to get sucked in. And it's so difficult. Man, I don't know about you, but even for me, you know, knowing better, knowing that it's really just designed to generate outrage that is you know, supposed to be part of a reactionary element that'll be used as a surreptitious justification for sweeping changes. And again, I keep mentioning books like, you know, Milton Mayer's They Thought They Were Free. And this idea that, you know, if we're not careful, like Mayer wrote, you know, quoting folks from those days, when things were really starting to go over the cliff, you know, chapter 13, but then it was too late. And you can feel the momentum just careening over the cliff, what we're doing to young people in so-called school. And, you know, watching people fight who really don't, you know, again, the point that I was making again yesterday with the mention of Rex Tibber's video, Who Is Your Tyrant? It's, you know, the subtle message there, that the subtle implication is, who are you allowing or letting in as your tyrant? Using the principle of the inverse square law and intensity, the intensity of focus. And if you draw a very close, intense focus on something, it's a painful irony. You know, there are folks, I mean, again, you look at the Anabaptist community as an example, and they seem very little troubled by many of these things. I doubt in the the Anabaptist schoolhouse, you know, the Amish and so forth, I doubt that they're worried about gender dysphoria. And I doubt that they, I don't know, but I doubt generally that they're worried about, you know, their 501c3 status or whatever the new C4 is, I forget. There are some things that I wanted to get to today. There's just so much stuff. I've talked about some of these things, you know, just as a, you know, sort of an explainer. I mentioned the color of law. Well, you know, without leaving Milton Mayer's They Thought They Were Free behind, you know, this what I think of is this, you know, what happened here was a gradual habituation of the people little by little being governed by surprise, to receiving decisions deliberated in secret, to believing that the situation was so complicated that the government had to act on information which the people could not understand, or so dangerous that even if people could not understand it, could not be released because of national security. We hear that a lot, that kind of theme. But we also see the theatrics, the sort of kabuki theater of, you know, Adam Curtis's wipe video from, what was it, 2014? 2014 wipe. The contradictory vaudeville. That was the year in review deal. Maybe we'll play that. That was 2014, and, you know, but that's happening. That's Vladislav Surkov in the Soviet Union. I'm glad that doesn't happen here. Wait, that sounds eerily, strikingly familiar. Avant-garde, you know, the same kinds of post-structuralist I was thinking about it yesterday in simple terms, you know, just seeing what's happening to children. It reminds me so much of all of the things that Andrew Breitbart was telling us about, and that silver ponytail he talked about. You know, those people have raised up a generation of folks who are now rabid Marxists, and they're teaching our children to hate themselves, to hate one another, to hate America, to hate everything good. They are cultural Marxist warriors, and they're training legions of children to hate themselves and one another. And you can see their psychic mutilation worn literally on their sleeve, so to speak, in their tattoos and piercings and things like that. You know, the avant-garde, the post-structuralist, Dadaist. We are steeped in this stuff. And by the way, you know, if you're not familiar, you know, and this is kind of a design aspect of going back to the same radical leftist folks who, you know, I would say anti-God folks, who are in all of the other you know, utilitarian, technocratic, cybernetic discussions as well. So, you know, it's just evidence of the complete takeover of society, or the attempted. In design, for example, on the web, what was the there's a term in design. I used to call it, you know, wearing your undergarments on the outside, because that's how it looks to me. It's post-structuralist, and oh gosh, what is the word for it? It's the it's all the rage in web design. You see it everywhere, on everything. And I actually designed the Road Warrior Radio site, for better or worse, sort of that way, a softer version of that, as a, why can't I think of the term? That's nihilistic design style. That's really annoying. That's going to bother me. I apologize. I'll find it. Quickly, quickly. Yeah, brutalism and new brutalism. That's what it's called. So, new brutalism is, what is it? Someone described it as, and you know, new brutalism is, it's pronounced New Brutalism, but it's actually spelled N-E-U, Brutalism. So this is, you know, the brutalist style is, you know, that's the concrete buildings, that are just, I think, ugly to look at. They look like you have the you know, the structural elements, the raw form of architecture on the, those elements on the outside. Rough, unfinished surfaces, unusual shapes, solid materials like concrete, massive forms, contrasting small features. And I think, you know, Frank Lloyd Wrong was a sort of forerunner to this in my humble estimation. You know, it was a, it was the kind of the introduction of brutalism to the landscape. That's my humble estimation. Anyway, brutalism is big in web design and development, and most people don't even know what it is, but it makes its way out. It's ugly-ish, as people have said. You know, clashing colors, brutal typographies that are not necessarily easy to read. I forget who it was. Somebody described, what is it? New brutalism is like what? Brutalism combined with a punch in the face or something like that? Somebody said something like that. Anyway, this is, you know, this is sort of emblematic of the ethos of the day, or the zeitgeist of the day, if you will. Harsh, rough, rugged, uncomfortable, raw, confrontational, cynical. You saw this emerge, you know, for example, with furniture in the 60s, and it went away because it was awful. You know, it went away like it should. But then it has returned, and now you're starting to see this stuff come back. It's brutalism. Harsh, rough, uncomfortable, raw, confrontational, cynical. It is the externalization of Marxist critical theory, criticizing everything. And if you're not criticizing everything, if you're not cynical and confrontational now, you will be after you look at this website, or you will be after you sit in this chair, and heaven forbid you sit in this chair at the same time you're looking at that website. You'll be cynical, you'll be harsh and confrontational after that experience. I had an example of how this is playing out that I didn't mention yesterday, but I included it in yesterday's my links. And I would like to give you that. We'll go to the phones first, but I would like to read you this. This is what's happening, and I saw an example of it yesterday. Just you see it. People who are sort of falling victim to this stuff. What we need is the kind of prayer that Oswald Chambers talks about in the entries of My Utmost First Highest that I mentioned during the first segment of today's broadcast. We need that kind of prayer. Pray for folks now. Pray for those with whom you come in contact now. But what we're getting is this brutalism that we're subjecting one another to. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central. And Wednesday at 1 Central.
We'll be right back.
world. I'm loving for all that's inside it. The beat of my words get a riot. The beat of my police pack, parking lots, guns, bombs, sounding up from art and my own world.
Welcome back. I love that commercial, by the way. The Patrick and Jeremy Show commercial. That's fantastic. I agree. I'm not taking my shots. But you can't have your pudding if you don't eat. How can you still have your pudding if you don't eat your meat? Anyway. Last segment, final segment of the first hour. Let's go to the phones real quick and grab Fred in Iowa. Fred, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, good morning, Chris.
Good morning, sir.
The Holy Spirit speaking through you has helped me immensely, and that is the atonement and to pray for others. And what that means to me, it can take away a lot of my anger and judgment. I don't want to take a long time. But you know the verse, and I can't say it near enough verbatim, but the prayer of a righteous person can be immense help to others. But I feel...
James 5:16.
Pardon, go ahead. Say it.
Well, it's interesting because that's James 5:16, and it's, you know, it's a therefore. It's one of those therefores, and in the NASB, it's therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. A prayer of a righteous person, when it is brought about, can accomplish much. Or in the King James, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And it's, you know, it's one of those therefores. So what comes before the therefore is important too.
Right, you hit it on the nail there. But I feel so unrighteous, you know, myself to be praying for others, so that gives me a little pause or reticent about it. But when I can look at others with affection, tenderness, respect, love, consideration, will help to take this anger away and judging all the time and talking harsh. And other words, what I'm saying is the Holy Spirit using you, I believe, has helped me. And I think I'm going to try to do this because it'll bring me up. Saying me, I, but if I can help others, then
absolutely. We're headed into a break. Let's
okay,
continue
bye.
On the other
Thank
side.
Bye-bye.
Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
It's expensive, and eventually it runs out. Then what? What happens to you or your family when there's not enough food to go around? In a true survival scenario, you need a renewable food source. That's why Seed Armory has developed a survival-grade seed vault that can produce over $25,000 worth of crops from just one kit. Unlike other seed vaults, we don't inflate our seed counts with fillers. All our seeds are 100% heirloom and non-GMO. Not a green thumb? Don't worry. We've written an easy-to-follow guide to guarantee your success from planting to harvest. For a limited time, we're offering an additional 10% off your order when you enter the code RBN at checkout. Go to seedarmory.com. That's seedarmory.com. Don't wait. Like everything else, seeds are in short supply.
RBN, John Stadtmiller's Republic Broadcasting Network. Republicbroadcasting.org.